Tampa is going to be a rather busy city on the weekend of January 27th and 28th. The city will host the 2018 National Hockey League All-Star Game during one of the biggest annual events in the city, Gasparilla Pirate Fest. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Let's say hello to our guest. Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan is a 27-year veteran of Tampa PD and was recently named chief by Mayor Bob Buckhorn. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Good. And editor-in-chief of Tampa Bay Business Journal, Alexis Milner. Thank you. Good to see you again.
Carson, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Chief Dugan, first of all, before we start talking about this weekend, how do you like your new job?
Oh, I'm really enjoying it. The reception that I've received from the community has just been phenomenal.
Now, this is not the first time Tampa has hosted the All-Star Game. I didn't really realize this, but it was here back in 1999. And Chief Dugan, you were here in 1999. You've been with the department for a long time. Do you recall, was that a big event for Tampa?
Yeah, I remember it. I was actually there. And, you know, what's interesting is Tampa has changed. You know, the Marriott Waterside right next to the arena didn't even exist back then. Mm-hmm. There were plans to build a hotel. They thought they would have the hotel built by the time of that first All-Star game, and it never happened. And Tampa's not the same as it was the last All-Star game.
Now, that was a standalone event, so nothing else like Gasparilla going on, I don't think.
It was just a regular hockey game. It certainly wasn't the event that it's going to be.
Yeah. Alexis Milner, any idea how many people are coming to town mainly for hockey?
The Tampa Bay Sports Commission said that they're using roughly the full arena, 20,000, but it could be as much as 70,000 over the course of the three-day events that the NHL has as its All-Star weekend. Of course, there's the skills competition on Saturday and the actual game on Sunday, and then the big concert. Lots of free events in the urban core, and that's why they're so excited about it.
Is everyone there local?
No, I've heard that it's about two-thirds local, which is pretty strong. And when you think about Super Bowl, there are very few local opportunities. But that's the understanding. And then there's all these free events, and with the Tampa Riverwalk, it's the culmination of a big push to evolve hockey as a viable market here.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that in a moment. Chief Dugan, double events have happened in the Bay Area, and what comes to mind was it back in 2001 when the Super Bowl was in town on Gasparilla weekend?
Yeah, we've done it a couple times, but 2001 was the big one. I believe that was the New York Giants and the Baltimore Ravens, I believe, and that was the day before the Super Bowl, and it was crazy.
You've got some memory to remember the teams. What was it like back then? You were with Tampa PD, of course.
Well, you know, it was the crowd was probably one of the largest that I could remember at the time. That was what shocked me the most, was the crowd at the parade was just craziness. And, you know, the sporting events, they bring in so many people that don't even go to the event itself. It's kind of a crazy phenomenon, if you ask me, where they'll come just to see the other things. You know, you have the autograph seekers, you have the people that want to go to the concerts, the events, and just kind of be a part of it, even though they're not inside the arena.
Yeah.
And the interesting part about the Amalie Arena, this is going to definitely happen in my opinion in this time, is they do so many things outside the arena during regular hockey games. You can just imagine what it's going to be like for the NHL All-Star.
Yeah,
game.
Even if you don't have tickets, you can say, hey, I was there. You know,
exactly.
Tell your friends,
if you look at the last Stanley Cup that the Lightning won, we had just as many people out on the plaza as we had in the building, literally.
I want to talk more about the business and economic impact of these special events. But first, Alexis Milner, of the two crowds, hockey fans versus Gasparilla Pirate wannabes, which tends to spend more money?
It's hard to understand exactly what the demographic breakdown would be, but I would say that those who are coming in for the NHL All-Star Weekend. We're going to spend more money. You know, this is all about, for downtown, you know, room nights and the kind of commerce that happens with events like these. And last year in Los Angeles, because it's a similar kind of space with LA Live, they have a 100-acre complex for sports and entertainment. They estimated that they had a $20 million economic impact. Now, economic impact numbers, as many people know, are speculative. They're based on algorithms. It's hard to really track it down. But it was about 8,500 room nights there. That's a lot. That's a substantial impact.
Yeah. Now, the All-Star Game is a pretty big deal, you know, for Jeff Vinnick and his effort to remake Tampa's Channelside District. Downtown Tampa is undergoing some big changes.
Huge. It's a $3 billion development project that Jeff Vinnick and Strategic Property Partners is partnering with Cascade Investment, the organization that's Bill Gates is controlled. And as we know, it grew to $3 billion. And we can see the cranes for the USF Medical School coming up. And it's going to transform this community, especially because of the plans for the way they're designing it as a wellness district and some of the plans that they have that are slowly unfolding. So this event comes at a time where, again, with the Riverwalk and the way the park is, that the downtown is just really kind of exploding.
Will some of that construction actually hinder the events of the weekend?
I don't think it will at all. Yeah. I mean, they've done a lot of infrastructure on part of the acreage that they have. And so my sense is that traffic patterns, and the chief probably has a better sense of that, but I doubt it.
Well, when you get that many people downtown, there will be traffic issues. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the construction, it's going to affect it some. And, you know, but we're a big city now, and we have to accept that. And with big city events come big city traffic issues. And we're prepared for it. You know, the big thing is people are going to have to plan out their day. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I think with traffic, your advice might be don't drive in the first place. Many roads will be closed, especially on Saturday. Are there satellite lots that folks can park at and take a bus or a shuttle into town, or are you aware of any?
Yeah, there will be things set up like that. But I'll tell you, the interesting part about Tampa is, especially downtown, there is a tremendous amount of parking downtown. But I think there's an issue in Tampa. We want to park right next to the event, where if they're willing to park 4 or 5 blocks down the road in downtown Tampa, that's the way to do it. And just walk, you know, in downtown Tampa, big cities, 4 or 5 blocks is not much of a walk. It really isn't. No. And if you plan ahead and think about where you're going to park, I don't expect any issues. People are just going to have to think about what they're doing and have a plan for the day.
Get a bit of a workout and hope it doesn't rain, right? Gasparilla has been celebrated in Tampa almost every year since 1904. Hockey is a more recent arrival, but I think you can safely say Tampa is a hockey town, at least according to folks in Tampa, unlike 25 years ago when that statement was usually followed by a punchline. Florida Matters' Bobby O'Brien reports that in the 100-year-old NHL, can Tampa ever catch up with its much older and more established hockey town counterparts?
This is the last minute of play in the period.
We caught up with Lightning founder Phil Esposito during intermission at a recent game. The Lightning were playing one of the original 6 National Hockey League teams, the Montreal Canadiens. Esposito admits bringing professional ice hockey to the land of sunshine and palm trees in 1992 was a gamble. But he got some reassurance from Gabe Paul, a former president of the Yankees and Cleveland Indians, who was living in Tampa at the time.
I asked him one question. Do you think hockey could survive here in this area? He said, well, we love football, we love car crashes, we love wrestling, and we love boxing. Seems to me you got it all in hockey. I said, okay, I'm in. Are you? He said, yes, I am. And that's how it actually started.
The Hall of Fame player knew he had a challenge creating a team in a non-traditional hockey market like Tampa. Montreal sports writer Arpan Basu was covering that Canadian Lightning matchup in late December, and he agreed that traditional hockey fans are tough and don't mind roughing up a newcomer.
You know, hockey fans, especially in Canada, we want everyone to love our game, and then when the NHL goes and reaches out into these new markets to get new people to love their game, they get mocked and they get made fun of. There was a lot of that going on when they initially came to Tampa.
But Esposito shrugged off those early taunts that ice hockey doesn't belong in a place with no winter.
And the truth is, you play indoors. You don't play outside. I remember as a player going into Montreal, it was 6 below 0 as we walked in. When we came out, it was 12 below zero. Here, I walk into the building, it's 73 or 75. I walk out, it's 73 or 75. Now I ask you, what would you prefer? And people up north just didn't get it.
And in that first year, to attract fans, the Lightning used a Kick Ice radio ad.
Lightning strikes and celebrate. Kick ice.
Today, Espo does the color commentary for Lightning radio broadcasts. Jim Devilano with the Detroit Red Wings says the Lightning has come a long way since playing at the State Fairgrounds Expo Hall and St. Petersburg's Tropicana Field, known then as the Thunderdome. He says players like Vincent LeCavalier and Martin St. Louis winning the Stanley Cup in 2004, plus several playoff bids since, have earned the Lightning and its fans respect.
This is a hockey town and will be forever. They've made it. I wouldn't worry about it. They're as good a hockey town as any in the National Hockey League. Sold out night after night after night. Good hockey club, night after night after night.
In fact, at many Lightning home games, you can find Scotty Bowman, the coach with the most wins in NHL history and 14 Stanley Cups.
I happen to live in Sarasota. I know a lot of people that come up from there. It's not that tough a hike to get up here. And the kids are playing hockey in the areas now. There are even kids from Sarasota. They'll increase as rinks are being built, which they are doing in Florida.
Since the Lightning arrived, the number of ice rinks has increased. There are high school teams, street hockey, and club hockey for kids and adults. 7 years ago, Lightning owner Jeff Vinnick took over the team. He decided one way to grow the fan base was to teach life skills and hockey to Tampa Bay youngsters. He says that includes handing out free hockey sticks that kids can use on and off the ice.
We're going to give out 100,000, actually we're going to do more than 100,000 sticks and pucks to kids throughout the area. We're up to 70,000 right now after 2 years, and we're going to keep going because, again, let's get everybody to love this great sport. And, you know, what kid doesn't want a stick in their hand?
It's a strategy that makes Esposito proud.
We're 25 years in existence, okay? We haven't got the tradition of the original six teams, but you have to make your own tradition. And I believe in that totally, and it's coming along really well. Jeff Vinnick, when he bought this team, brought it to where I always thought it should be.
And that, according to Espo, is a winning team in a hockey town, or you might say, a hockey paradise.
Summer in the winter and a battle on ice. We got a true hockey paradise. Come on.
Just like in one of the Lightning's promotional songs. For Florida Matters, I'm Bobby O'Brien.
Come on down to our hockey paradise.
Chief Dugan, is this a hockey town?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind.
No, mine as well. I mean, you think about a couple of things. One is that transplants, and that every day we have X amount of folks that move to our wonderful community, and they bring with them their own traditions. And as that becomes a multi-generational factor, where you have, and in 25 years, the Lightning are starting to get there, where kids who grew up are now that have kids.
Well, it sounds like you both are hockey fans, truly hockey fans. Chief Dugan, did you grow up here? Are you a hockey fan?
I am a lifelong hockey fan. I actually grew up in Pittsburgh and was a Pittsburgh Penguin fan, but I've been in Tampa going on 28 years now. I moved here 2 days before I started the police academy and been here ever since. And yeah. I am a diehard Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
And I grew up in New England in Boston. I was a lifelong Boston Bruins fan and watched much of Phil Esposito's career. In fact, when I lived in Miami, had a weekly street hockey game that in the middle of the summer we get out there and play with sticks and balls, and loved to emulate Phil Esposito. At least I like to think so in my own mind. But it's a really fun sport, and the Lightning have been such a quality team to watch. And if you think back to when Jeff Vinnick took the team, the club was on the verge of insolvency. I mean, it had financial issues.
Right.
And, building a winner, building a team that you can understand who the players are and follow them and get to know how they play, I mean, that's part of what has been so successful for this organization.
Chief Dugan, the Tampa Bay Lightning really have done a good job reaching out to the community to ensure that Tampa is and stays a hockey town. There was the efforts in Seminole Heights not long ago.
Yeah, you know, we had the unfortunate situation in Seminole Heights that started October 9th and went through parts of November. And I had the opportunity to meet with JT Brown of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we kind of connected. He had done a protest at one of the games, and 2 nights later, I was able to sit down and have a meeting with him, and we've kind of bonded. He's gotten involved in the community and police department, and we had him out there during Halloween. And then during the holidays, we were trying to get people back into the community, and the Tampa Bay Lightning jumped right in. We had Steven Stamkos, Victor Hedman, and JT Brown at three different businesses, and we did a toy drive, and we had, you know, close to 1,000 people out there, maybe even more. It was just amazing at three different locations. And the things that the Tampa Bay Lightning do off the ice are just maybe even more impressive than what they do on the ice.
We're going to have more about the events and whether or not the Bay Area will be a big winner in just a moment. I'm Carson Cooper. This is Florida Matters. Tampa will host the 2018 National Hockey League All-Star Game during one of the biggest events annually in the city. That's Gasparilla, and that is happening the weekend of January 27th and 28th. We're talking about what happens when two major events like that happen at the same time. My guests are Alexis Milner with the Tampa Bay Business Journal and Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan. Alexis, what kind of national exposure can the Bay Area expect from this, and how important is it?
Well, the community has really benefited from, you know, the last decade with the Republican National Convention, the Frozen Four tournaments that have happened here, the college football national playoff that happened a year ago, where it was really the first time that the city and the downtown core was able to utilize the Riverwalk, mm-hmm. so that if you do stay in those downtown hotels, you can walk from your hotel room and you don't need a car. And it just shows sort of the value of that as a destination. I know I now frequent the Riverwalk and use it to get steps often, and it's just an incredibly beautiful thing. And so for the city to have that ability, you know, I mean, the exposure that you get on national television will show those scenes. Those are intangible yet so valuable for impressions. It's hard to gauge or measure them. Mm-hmm. But again, we are shown nationally as a big event place that can handle it and handle the security issues too, which I'm sure as a potential logistics nightmare, you guys have to be thinking about that too, Chief, right? I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt that we take a hard look at that. We'll take a look at, you know, we've reached out to previous cities that have hosted the NHL All-Star Game, and I believe it was Los Angeles and Nashville and some of the other cities, and asked them what were the challenges that they faced to kind of try and look ahead. It's going to be a bit of a challenge for us with that many people. And when you look at the security plans and where we're at in the world that we live in today, you know, that's always a concern. But I think we're going to do good.
Now, this is not just a 60-minute hockey game. Of course, there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, we have a concert at, I want to say it's Curtis Hickson Park on Friday night. And then Saturday will be the big day for the invasion. That'll kick off at the convention center and then go roll over on the Bay Shore with quite a lengthy parade. And then you'll have the skills competition at Amalie Arena that night.
And some of those events are, that's why folks without tickets will show up. I mean, you'll see the various NHL trophies on display. The mascots will be there. Past and present players will be out there making themselves available to autographs and such. So it will be quite the night. Chief Dugan, I suspect your officers are going to be pretty much everywhere. But what areas or events will require extra attention?
Well, you know, we're going to have officers from the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, the Florida Highway Patrol. We work with FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FBI. You know, every agency in the Bay Area is going to be out there helping with us. And, you know, we have a tremendous presence of police officers. And, you know, we worry about the crowds. We worry about, you know, traffic and things like that. I think my biggest message to people is, you know, have a plan. Think this through. You know, if you're not familiar with going to Bayshore, if you're not familiar with going downtown, look into it in advance. Think about where you're going to park. When you park somewhere, use your smartphone and be smart with it and take a picture of street signs of where you parked your car. Because if you're not familiar with it, you're probably not going to find your car at the end of the day.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, and yeah. We really want people to think about who's going to drive, who's going to drink, sticking together. Don't go off by yourself. And if you see something that you think is kind of strange and law enforcement needs to look into it, give us a call. You know, it's the old see something, say something. And like I said, people tend to go downtown. They go to Bayshore. They're not familiar with the area. They can't remember where they parked because it could be hours before they see their car again. And if you take some pictures of where you parked your car and some street signs, you know, we might be able to help you find your car.
Yeah. You can also ask Siri, tell me where I am, and then you can take a screenshot of that.
Wow, I love this century. I remember this from the GOP convention several years ago. Barriers were up all over town. Crowds were strictly controlled. Does all that impact what folks spend, at places like restaurants and bars?
Well, we've known that this is an issue when you have big events that, like the Super Bowl or the Republican National Convention, that there is concern when you assess economic impact that a lot of that money is staying there or staying with not local businesses. And small businesses have a legitimate concern or legitimate beef about that are they really getting the economic impact that is being touted? And I think it's healthy to have some skepticism about that.
Yeah, if your restaurant or a bar is cut off by barriers, nobody can get to it. That was an issue back then. It could be one. I don't know how many barriers will be up for crowd control.
Yeah, I don't. You know, that won't be an issue. Okay. I can assure you that will not be an issue for this event. That was a totally different animal, so to speak, with the Republican National Convention. You know, we are going to have some barriers out there, especially when you look on some of the streets. We don't want cars driving down Bayshore because of the number of people out there and things like that. But they're going to have access to some of the businesses. I mean, there will be some street closures. That's just part of the beast, so to speak. But people are going to be able to go eat and do things and go where they need to go.
And Chief Dugan, how will the department be prepared for the unthinkable? Terror has to be on your mind.
Oh, no doubt. That is our major concern. That's what keeps us awake at night. You know, but we have a job to do. That's why we get up in the morning to try and prevent these type of things. And we have had we've already done a security exercise earlier in the week. We meet with our partners in law enforcement, and there is a tremendous plan put in place. We met with NHL security, and we worked very closely with the crew of Gasparilla. You know, we're a town who's used to putting on these parades. We're used to these big events. I don't think people realize how well the Bay Area law enforcement agencies work together. And if they're able to walk down Bayshore and see parts of it, you're going to see equipment from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, from the St. Petersburg Police Department. We have people from Clearwater. We have cops from Manatee County coming up. But, you know, this is an entire Bay Area effort to make sure that this is a fun event for people to feel safe.
The parade, the Gasparilla Parade, how cool is it that they got former Lightning Center Vinny LeCavier to serve as Grand Marshal? That was cool.
It's probably part of all the stars aligning, if you will, for this event and kind of perfect.
How much will this weekend cost taxpayers, Alexis Milner?
I don't know that I have a great bead on that. The chief probably has some sense for where you get into extra cost. I know when you have this multi-agency participation.
Well, what we do is there's the sharing of equipment that I talked about. You'll see equipment from all the different Bay Area agencies out there, and that's what we've done in order to be better stewards of the taxpayer dollar is we share equipment and network with each other. But, you know, as far as, like, much to the chagrin of many of our police officers with the Tampa Police Department, is everybody this week adjusts their days off, and they will be working on the parade day.
Another cost issue is trash. I mean, we have actually in the past done some slideshows of looking at the aftermath along Bayshore, and I imagine that's a huge cost as well, just dealing with refuse and garbage.
Right, but the city, because we do this every year, we have found ways to cut costs, and like I said, it's adjusting people's days off and their hours, and it's. I'll tell you, one of the most impressive operations you will see, which no one ever sees except for the cops and the city workers, is the way they clean up Bayshore so quickly after the parade. It's just amazing that you can go out there the next day and you'll see the stands and the bleachers, but it would look like Bayshore, like a parade never happened.
If you Google the phrase, Alexis Milner, economic impact of sporting events, it does not take long for the name Phil Porter to show up. And Phil, he's the USF economics professor, who says the economic impact of events like the Super Bowl, things like that, is way overstated. Some supporters of the events, you've probably heard, will say things like, well, the hotel rooms are filled up, but when you swipe your credit card at the Marriott, the transaction shows up on a server in Bethesda, Maryland. So I question what kind of economic impact on the Bay Area that is.
I think that he has a legitimate question. I mean, I know people he has detractors, people especially in the sports entertainment world who find his take difficult to swallow. He has a point, though, because a lot of this is hard to really measure. I mean, I know you can get sales receipts for revenue later on down the line to get a sense for how much was spent. But it's the factor of where this money is spent and who is it being spent with. And are those corporations not locally based? It's not the real small businesses of town. Although, when you think about what's happened in downtown Tampa and the kind of residential life and urban life and a walkable urban core and the kind of restaurants that now exist and thrive, how can you not think that there is a real strong value? And we talked earlier about the impressions on national television and global television, because hockey is a world sport. The more that we have these experiences, the more that the agencies like the police department learn, the more that the folks who are trying to bring these events can say how well we do it, the greater fortunes await us. I mean, Super Bowl is 3 years away.
I have to say, though, the GOP convention, past Super Bowls, Gasparilla, everything is just kept in so much great order. I mean, Tampa police do a wonderful job, as do the other law enforcement agencies. So I think folks looking at the GOP, they were expecting the worst. And it's like, well, where's the trouble?
No, there's no doubt. And we're very fortunate. You look in the city of Tampa, we're located in Hillsborough County, Florida. And obviously we have Sheriff Chad Cronister, the Hillsborough County Sheriff. And him and I are very good friends. We've known each other our entire careers. And we work very well together. Our agencies work very well together. And, when you look at the type of events that have taken place and the way law enforcement partners together and these events, like he said, they're, in my opinion, I agree with, it's intangible because it's putting the name of Tampa Bay and the city of Tampa out there. And if you have so many events, I got to believe there's people out there going, I wonder what's going on in that town that all these events are going on. And I think it definitely brings people in, and it's just amazing.
All right. Alexis Milner with the Tampa Bay Business Journal and Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan, thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure, Carson. Thanks.
Thank you.
And that is it for today's show, but the conversation continues online. Send us a comment or a question on our Facebook page or via email, floridamatters@wusfnews.org. Florida Matters is produced by Stephanie Colombini, engineered by Richard Jimenez, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.